Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this soundtrack.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance.
Okay,
we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot del H. Your gunner goes based on the data you had for an LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro. Go.
Final.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue. PDI.
Coming to you live from the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country in Shingle Springs, California, this is your host, John Almada. Well, we were going to play the ghost theme, but my switchboard decided to get a little weird on me at that moment. So what I am going to do is reload that page and say hello to everybody here at Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. Technical fun on Friday the 13th. And I don't know how many times you can have a Friday the 13th in a year, but I think that we're on, I think, at least our second one. And here we go. Now we got it. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hold to tradition, and I'm going to go ahead and play the ghost theme because I like to play the ghost theme. So here we go. Okay, well, a little technical difficulty, but we did get it going. ED Paranormal says, I can't hear you. Can you hear us now, ED Paranormal, over in Ohio, the furthermost reaches of our global GRI empire? Can you hear us? And Ice Dog is there. I can see Ice Dog. So he should be hearing us. And so if somebody there can say hello to us and make sure that we are being heard, I would sure love to hear that. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and continue. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, and we have Karen Bergman is our special guest in studio. We actually have a live beating heart in the studio, someone with a pulse, not a dead person. So say hello to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Okay, she's on. So I wonder if we are getting out, because I'm sitting here seeing nothing come across the chat room. So I do believe we are getting out, though. And so we're going to go ahead and continue on. Now, we have Laura. I believe she spells it Laura, but I think it's Laura Ketch. And she's called the Accidental Psychic. So we're going to be having her on. And her bio says she's led an eclectic life. And for more than 20 years, she's owned horses and has been their employee. That she's actually been their employee. She's been a model, a waitress, a bartender, shrink, and a housewife. And these are important ingredients that have made her a paranormal author. And she's leaving out one important part of the question, that she died when she was 19 and came back with psychic abilities. And oddly enough, that happened to me with the heart thing that I had happen. And so I'm similar, although I'm not a closet queen like she says she is here. Anyway, we are going on, and I'm going to go ahead and type real quickly to ED Paranormal. I'm going to ask her, are you hearing us? We're talking. And so you, my co-hosts, are invited to talk in there. And we're going to go ahead and talk about some of the things going on. Karen and I were out today, of all things, out at the Pioneer Cemetery, which, you know, my good buddy at Christine at the ED Paranormal. Oh, the network is giving us fits today. So we're just going to go ahead and continue on here. Let's see if we can get this to continue up. And I'm having trouble with the network. All the way. It is definitely a Friday the 13th. And the control board is giving me fits, so we're just going to try to make this continue on. If we don't see anybody, we're just going to continue. I'm having fun with the show tonight, aren't I? All right, we're just going to continue on and act like everybody's hearing us. Heck with us. So anyway, we were out hunting ghosts today out at the in Coloma, at the Pioneer Cemetery, and we had a great time, and got back, and I jumped on getting this show going, and I wonder if we're having, let me see if we even have an internet feed, because I believe I'm getting out there. Looks like we are off. Yeah, I'm getting connected, so I'm sure we're getting out there. I'm not going to worry too much. I think we are on air, so that's really been our wireless connection on the control system just dropped out. So I'm going to go ahead and recycle that while everybody is listening, and hopefully everybody will be very patient with us because we're having one of those nights at the studio. And anyway, so let's go ahead and have you talk a little bit while I'm recycling this control board. Why don't we talk a little bit about where you're from?
Where I'm from? I'm from Arizona.
You know, what part of Arizona?
I am from Peoria, just west of Phoenix, near Sun City.
Peoria? Is there actually a Peoria?
Yes, a Peoria.
Okay. That's, and
actually founded from Peoria, Illinois, the people from Peoria.
Oh, so they just brought it with them and couldn't bear to let go, so
yeah,
they did that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now, you actually went out with me, and you've actually hunted in some other places. You and I first met on the USS Hornet.
Yep, that was a good time.
And we did that, and you actually got some EVPs, which I have not listened to yet, but we will listen tomorrow. And
okay.
Actually, because I'm schooling her on the art and science of doing EVP analysis. She did go out, and we tried some new techniques today, by the way. We went out and in the cemetery that we went into. We tried what we call shotgun recording, which is basically taking an EVP recorder and doing a short burst recording and then playing it back immediately and seeing what we were getting. And I'm not used to doing that. I'm used to being I grind in there, do the whole thing, record the whole thing, and go back and listen to myself all over again. Today it was just a whole set of short burst recordings that we were playing back several of them, and we did get EVPs, and it was really nice to know that we were getting them in the field when we were doing what we were doing. So that basically was what we were up to, and I think we came back with a lot of evidence. Now, there was some things that we tried. Also, we took the EM pump with us and did a whole bunch of things that were, I think, pretty interesting. We went ahead and just, I'm going to reboot this computer because it is giving me fits. So we're going to do a shutdown and then a restart. And there we go. Let's just do a restart. We'll let that go. So we're going to continue on. So bottom line, we were doing all kinds of stuff. I actually had what I believe to be a sighting in the in that cemetery up at the, as a matter of fact, Christine, if you hear me, we were at that park where you and I and Michelle, I think, we had the little boy that said, Mama got me a little one, you know, the stone by the tree. So we were up there, and I actually had what I believe was to be a sighting of a spirit run through between, Karen and me. And it was just a very brief sighting. But I was having some strange things go on the whole time we were there. And it was a few cold spots. We were you were using the dowsing rods, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we were doing that and having quite a time with that. And then we basically went around the backside of the Coloma, the park in Coloma there, and went up to the miner's cabin. You had that thing happen to you. Can you describe what happened to you by the church?
Well, I walked over there to the side of the church. I just had my dowsing rods out, just getting them out, and I was turning around, and to the church was to the back of me, and behind me, I did hear something that sounded like came from inside the church. Almost like a scraping, graveling kind of sound. It was mm-hmm. very quick, and it made me turn around real quick, because I swore my first thought was it came from the church. It's what it sounded like inside. And there, I was looking through the windows, and there was nobody in there.
Yeah, and that's stuff has happened there quite a bit. As a matter of fact, at that particular area, Christine and I, last year, we had quite a bit of activity there with EVP and EMF. We had that EMF spike that happened there where that, what we believe is the miner came out and was really cussing us out. Matter of fact, he told me to go to hell. And he's the only guy I ever chose to fight back with. And I did some provoking back because he kind of ticked me off. And it's the one and only time I've ever done that, and I decided on the basis of what happened as a result of that that I would never provoke again like that. Now, I do a little light provoking in the sense that I'll say sometimes, hey, you know, you could do, come on, you guys, I know you're there, you could do better. You know, so, I mean, that's about as far as I'll take it. I just don't think that you get, you know, from my particular style of investigation and what I do, that it really pays off. You know, some other guys can pull that off, and unfortunately, I think they also bear the brunt of a lot of the things that may be attached to them or follow them home, and stuff happens. And I had that one EVP that we got where that miner told me, "I'll find you, I'll find you," and I did not like that. So that said, let's go ahead and assume that everybody is hearing us as we reboot the system here, and I finally get connected up and have a control panel for our guest, Laura Ketch. Now, which do you want to read first? You want to read? You got the story there? Let's go with the Eagle Tribune story and just read the headline.
I get from the Eagle Tribune. It says, "A Young Viewer's Take" by Greg Vellante. "The Fourth Kind falls short of the bar set by Paranormal Activity." It says here that actress, which, forgive me for mispronouncing her name, Mila Jovovic,
that's good.
Approaches the screen and speaks directly to the audience, claiming that everything in The Fourth Kind is backed up by an actual video and audio and is a dramatization of something truly real. We are then encouraged to believe that what we want to believe, and thus the most pretentiously tedious thriller of the year begins. The Fourth Kind is plagued by an unyielding determination to make the audience believe. It transfers between an interview with director Olin...
Oh, just say Olin.
Olin.
Skip it.
Asa Susamini, sorry for ruining that name, and
yeah.
Dr. Abigail Taylor, on who the film is based. A dramatized story are in which Jovovic plays Taylor, and split screens are used to show actual footage alongside the performances. All of these techniques only lead to distraction and never successfully accomplish the job they set out to do.
Now, that is the part that, as we reboot, we're just getting that computer. You may hear a little Windows startup thing. But we actually went out and saw that last night. And what was your impression of that particular thing?
Well... I think it was an amazing movie. It was really, really made you think, and it really scared me.
Yeah, it was. They actually showed some of the footage of this psychiatrist hypnotizing these people up in Nome, Alaska. And what ended up happening was anybody who got hypnotized by her stuff, bad stuff started happening. They were dying. People were. One guy actually floated 3 feet in the air, and his vertebrae and his neck snapped. And ultimately, I think we can give it away that she ended up in the same condition We won't say how that all worked out that way, but it was a very, very brutal thing that these aliens were coming in and basically snatching people
and taking over their bodies,
and it was just unbelievable. It had elements of possession, you know, demonic possession involved in it, coupled with what some people might term intradimensional beings or UFO activity. So I have a feeling it was a cross between those things. So we were kind of just walked out of there in shock, I think.
Blown away.
It was truly a very, very different kind of movie. I mean, it was not your casual movie that you would walk in and just feel all this these good thoughts about. I mean, we came out and were conjecturing, you know, for the evening with what was really going on in that movie. Now, is that connecting? We're having a lot of fun with the connections tonight, so I'm hoping that if I have to, I'm going to go ahead while we're doing that, and I'm just going to, this is not usually the way I do this, and I'm going to go ahead and get on Blog Talk's control panel, because I may have to do this the hard way, and I don't like to do it that way, because we're not going to have a chat room tonight. What we'll do is, since this computer is giving me fits, I'm going to go into the control panel here, and we will briefly just apologize to everybody, because I normally would have the control panel computer giving me everything I need, and it's just not happening. So we're going to go ahead and fire this up and start the switchboard over here. So I'm sorry we're not going to have a switchboard tonight, and we normally would do that. But this laptop just decided to give me nothing but trouble with the actual internet connection. So we're going to go ahead and do that and hope that everyone is hearing us and see if we can get that on. If we're not getting out at all, we'll find out real fast, because I should be connected. I don't see that there's anything stopping me from getting in. Come on. And I apologize to everybody. Usually we don't have these issues, but we are having a time of it tonight. So I'm waiting for Blog Talk to come back on that.
That's because the blonde is in the house.
Well, I don't know. I tell you, it's definitely a Friday the 13th kind of thing. And I'm just going to go ahead and repair that. I'm going to run that repair and see if I can get away with this. Because we've got 15 minutes till we got Lurik on. And I'm just not getting the switchboard to do its thing. It's just, we're having nothing but fun. Okay, finally, we have that. So I am able to control the show with this the broadcast computer. Always have a backup system here at GRI. So we're just going to hope that this other computer comes back and that I don't have to depend on this one here. So we'll be able to get Laura, you know, and be able to work with her. So let's go ahead and continue on with the news. Some of you, actually, I did see a brief announcement for a show coming up on November 22nd on Animal Planet, and it's going to be a show about paranormal pets and pets that can see the paranormal activity. And I don't remember the name of it, but just look it up on Animal Planet. Go out to their website and look for Paranormal and Pets, I think, and you will find a reference to this show, which is just going to be, I think, rather interesting. And how many of you have had pets like we do? We have our cats who sense and make rather interesting commentary to us with their noises as to what the, you know, the kinds of activity we're getting, you know, in the house. And one of our cats actually runs and spits and, you know, snarls at things that are not there, that we know are there, that we can't see, but she is really good at it, and our outdoor kitty is the same way. She gets rather spooked sometimes and just goes tearing away because of the haunt that we know is here on the property. Now, I don't know about you. I mean, have you had any of your pets ever do anything strange or, you know?
Well, of course. I've had some strange pets. But, no, I do believe that, yes, animals are very sensitive and can see and hear things that we do not.
Yeah,
I think they're much more in tune than we are.
True. And I think that dogs and cats in particular have these abilities. There's horses are also known for this. And I think we will be, since Laura talks in her biography about the horse thing that she's into, I tend to think she's going to be able to probably illuminate some of that for us. Hopefully she'll be able to tell us a little more about that. The other thing that was on this week was the Ghost Hunters Academy, and I'm not sure what everybody thought about that. I didn't get to really look at it in depth, but I was really surprised at the some of the things that happened in that, just in what little I saw of it. And they were very, really hard on those people. And I was talking with you in the car about it today, and I don't know. I mean, I'm normally a big Taps fan, you know, all the way. I don't have a problem with a lot of their style, but I think they were probably pretty hard on those people. And, you know, a lot, when you're fresh on an investigation, you don't know anything half the time. I mean, it's just not something that you just, you know, your first paranormal investigation, you're walking in blind, and you are generally, especially if you're younger, you're going to be confused and looking at it going, what? You know, what do I do now? Where do I go? And you're looking for, you know, a little bit of approval and guidance, and it's just throwing them in the pot and then expecting them to perform, and weed out the survivors. Maybe that is the answer for the, for that East Coast bunch, but I don't know. I mean, I just don't know where you go with that and continue on being, having people want to be on, come on and do that. But I guess they line up.
Now I think part of that's a Hollywood thing, you know.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. You know, to get ratings and.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'd love to be on that show.
You would love to be on it?
Yes.
I can tell you this. Based on what Steve did on that show, I mean, I was looking at that, and I just think that you would want to be paying extremely close attention because he is critical. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a little more forgiving, but. If I saw that, I would be watching you closely going, oh, God, pay attention. He's going to give you a...
That's
so,
okay. But, watch me, baby.
That would be it. But we got the story that I'm reading from, though, is Stephen Tango from Ghost Hunters Academy on being paranormal professors. So this is a full interview from theexaminer.com in San Francisco. And basically, it's combine an education of science, philosophy, psychology, and history with a little electrical and plumbing and technical training, and the result is a well-rounded, multifaceted curriculum that many institutions of higher learning would be proud of. Add in ghost hunting, and it's the school of the Atlantic Paranormal Society, TAPS, also known as Ghost Hunters Academy. And premiering tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern is Sci-Fi Channel Ghost Hunters Academy is the second spinoff from the popular Ghost Hunters brand, which began in 2004 with a flagship show starring the Plumbers, Jason Hawes, and Grant Wilson. So I kind of wonder what's going to happen with the original Ghost Hunters show. I think it's going to be going through quite a...
Going to go by the wayside?
Well, I kind of think that, you know, being on the road so much and having the paranormal life of these folks, and I've met some of them, and they got kind of a tired look on them. You know, there's a lot to this, and, you know, I'm able to go out and do it kind of whenever I want, and I can call a halt to it, and they're under contract. And so I can understand some of where they come from. I'm going to have to be fair to give, you know, Ghost Hunters Academy a chance, but I do think that the older guys are getting ready to retire out of it and probably take a lesser hand in it, and they're doing their thing. Oh, look, well, looky, I got a hookup on the laptop. Yay. We got 5 minutes till we can do that, so let's see if we can make this work. Please surround. Everybody think good thoughts for the broadcast laptop. It's come back. It made connection. Oh, God. I'm so happy. So the gods have spoken, and maybe, but I will keep this one running, and we do have our guest coming in. So that thing is actually installing updates. And if I can, what I'm going to do is we're going to go ahead and take a brief break, and hopefully we'll get the chat room back, and we get everybody in there, and I can fire up the chat room. And she's dialing in. That's her, I think 757 is Kentucky area code.
Okay.
So we're going to go ahead and take a brief break, and I'm going to take and fire off this song, and we will be back with Laura and. Get into an interview with her in about 5 minutes.
Oh,
Just before our guest came in, we just resolved our technical difficulties with our broadcast computer. Sorry, I had to pick. I know you say the music sucks out there, Ice Dog, but guess what? That's all I had. I was doing what I could to make this show continue on, and I've got a really great guest coming in here, and I just enabled her. I think I've got her. Is that you, Laura? Are you?
I know.
Who is that?
Kathy. I'm just listening. I had to leave.
Oh, Kathy. I'm sorry. Okay. Tell you what. I'm going to go. Do you want to stay on with us?
I can. Sure.
Okay. Tell you what. We'll just go ahead and let you listen in, and you can pop in when you want. And guess who's here with me?
Karen.
She is here with me. Yep. So, okay. Here we go.
I was wondering, where is she? I was hoping you'd be on tonight.
Well, hey, I'm going to go ahead and do the intro for our guest because she is patiently waiting. She's come in, and I've got a whole bunch of different lines coming in, so I don't know who's going to be Which ones I'm going to go through, and I'm going to try to figure out who's from that area code. There's three of them now. So we're going to go ahead, and we have Laura Ketch, or Laura Ketch. I'm going to ask her what the proper pronunciation is. And she says, I have led an eclectic life for more than 20 years, and I have owned horses. And I should say that I've been their employee. I've been a model, a waitress, a bartender, shrink, and a housewife. And these are fine ingredients that have made me a paranormal author. And, oh, I'm leaving out one important part of the equation. I died when I was 19 and came back with psychic abilities. I was a closet queen, so to speak, for 25 years concerning my abilities to see dead people. Dead people. Truth be told, I really do not have the personality of a psychic. Maybe a skeptic, but not a psychic. I haven't seen a UFO. The dog down the street is not sending me secret messages. And because I have seen ghosts firsthand, I know life I know the after death, and that we continue, and sometimes a ghost reaches into the world of the living. Yep. And my outlet is writing about my paranormal experiences with fictional characters in a pretend world. God, I'd love to be in that all the time. Wouldn't that be cool? In all my books, there are some very true psychic experiences that I have witnessed. Included in my books are the hows and whys of why some people gain their psychic abilities. If you were to write a book about me, it would be called The Accidental Psychic. So now I am going to attempt to take a guess and see if the 859 is the... Okay, it is that... If I can get this to stay... Here we go. Laura, are you with us?
Yes, John. Thank you for having me tonight. And my name is Laura Ketchledge. I use Ketchledge abbreviation.
Okay, I was just wondering it. I did see that on the notes earlier, but I was like, I saw the catch, and I went, I was in the emails you sent, so I went, okay, so I'm going to make that correction. I'm so sorry. But welcome aboard.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you know, I saw the horse ownership thing, and I know you're out in Kentucky, so that's like big-time horse country out there. So maybe if you just kind of gave us a little intro to yourself, what you're doing now, you know, with the psychic thing, and what, you know, where you're taking that, maybe even get into how you turned into an accidental psychic.
Yes, I'm glad to tell you. I live in Kentucky on a little horse farm just outside of Lexington. I have two horses, and those relationships have lasted longer than my marriage. But to get back to what I do is I write, and I've been working hard almost 20 years on these stories, and I've parlayed them into three novels. It's a series that starts in Virginia in 1979 on a horse farm, of course. You got to write about what you know. And
yep.
It takes these characters up to present day. What I'm trying to do is writing them in a fashion, these stories in a fashion that they could easily be adapted to a movie. And that's where I'm what direction that I'm going in right now.
Okay. So you and you're drawing off your personal experience then, you know, based on the bio that I saw here, you are psychic.
Yes.
And you've had is that something like, I would tend to think it's an everyday thing for you then, that you're having, I mean, not oodles of psychic experiences every day, every moment, but it's like a normal part of life for you.
Well, I've gotten, it's really an adjustment because I certainly grew up in a very, normal family, normal childhood, great, good life. And then I had the accident when I was 19, and that was 30 years ago, and after I was resuscitated and came back, I brought back with me some psychic abilities. And I had a real tough time, handling it. So I went to a shrink because I thought I had a brain tumor, was getting mentally ill. And so anyway, long story short is, my therapist said it is what it is. Yes, you have some psychic ability, and don't be afraid of it. And when I let down that curtain and started to be okay with it, and identify that, this is happening for a reason. I've gained tremendous insights. Had a few heartbreaks because when you want it to happen, it never does. And when it does, it usually comes in sideways. And unfortunately, the ghosts haven't given me the lottery numbers. But what they have given me is I think I've had some help in an insight writing about the paranormal world and kind of taking the mystique and putting more truths and knowns into it than, you know, some of the, you know, Hollywood stuff that is just too outlandish to be believed. So this is more, you know, meat and potatoes of what it really is. And each character that has died in my books that has come back have come back with a different psychic ability. So it's quite interesting.
Now, when, you know, what sorts of abilities, I mean, after it, let's, you know, the accident you were in, I guess it was a car accident or
I mean, horses, my goodness, you know, I'm a horse person and I've nearly killed a couple of times riding. No, I fell face first off of a horse, and that was a blessing and a broken nose. So, yeah. It killed me, but when I came back with so much more. I guess I'd jump off the horse again if I had to go back in time.
Okay. That makes sense. I myself had at age 28, I had a heart problem. I had a timing problem in my heart that eventually it grew out of, but I ended up in coronary care, and I went out and came back, and that's what got me into all this. And so, 28, you know,
CFO, one of those holes in the heart that didn't close.
No, I'm half Latin and Portuguese, and the other half is Scottish. And I've been psychic my whole life. My mom's side are all the touchy feely earthy people, is what we call them. And I was okay with the psychic part per se, but I never really followed it. And then when I basically was in CCU and my vitals crashed, and I actually remember leaving, and I popped out of my body, and I was standing there looking at myself being treated, and then I suddenly found myself back in, and I didn't know how that all happened, and I was left with a lot of questions, and I started following the whole movement of trying to, I checked New Age, I checked religions, and I went and studied everything, and it just was an eye-opening experience for me, and I came back with a few more abilities out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up being able to touch, do psychometry, and touch things and be able to kind of tell you about them, and didn't know how I was doing it. So, I mean, that's why I'm looking from you. I'm sure you came back with some new things, and, you know, what was it like for you?
Well, it was really shocking. The first time I saw, quote, a spirit or ghost, pulled the covers over my head and cried. The second time, I just got up and ran. And luckily, I was dressed because I was at a relative's house, and I would have run around the house naked. I was so shook up. After that, you know, I was like, when I sat on the couch and I was talking to my brother, you know, I was like shaking, and it was like, you know, when you take your dog to the vet, my leg was shaking like that. After that, it started to become easier. And it was once I relaxed and kind of got into being open-minded and the fear barrier dropped, I would have been able to see different spirits or ghosts, shall we call them, the formerly alive and the recently dead. And I find the visitations, I find it great. I find it very positive. It's not foreboding and depressing. Sometimes it's pretty emotional. The few times I've really been scared was my interpretation of the situation, my misinterpretation. So it was my own fear getting the better of me, not the situation.
Now, you know, in my experiences, we've had cases where I have actual ghosts I have relationships with, and I've gotten to know individuals that we see around here, and, you know, and especially some of the places I go that are haunted that we get EVPs that, you know, they basically are responding to me, and they know me, and they call me by name. So I'm just wondering, is that the same for you? Have you had those experiences?
Well, there's a few of the spirits that I know personally. A couple of them are relatives, and one is a close friend that just died. Then there's other ones that I really, it's a good guess. I mean, I really don't know who they are particularly. I did have two teams of ghosts and investigators come to my house, one in in September and one in August, and they ran separate investigations, you know, without comparing notes, and they both found EVPs, and some were very audible. Some you could hear names like Sam and Nancy and Linda, and then the other one where I was asking a question, and you know, we were right in the middle, I guess, or after the séance. And you could hear when I when I was saying, you know, who are you? And then we could hear, I died. So it was pretty good to get that validation from these two teams that there was something very audible, and they took pictures, and I was kind of new to the lingo orbs. There were orbs around, which I really don't know too much about it. But, John, I was a little bit different than you. When I had the accident, I did not search out or try to investigate or hit the library or talk about it. I talked about it with a therapist who recommended Robert Monroe's books, you know, and I found that very, very scientific and very factual. And I kind of let it go there. I didn't really want to take other people's beliefs because I was not ready to. I'm more open-minded now.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, for, you know, I come from a family of these people who are just more open to it. And,
I sure
you know, I was very encouraged to talk about stuff, you know, for, especially, you know, my mother is extremely gifted, and all her sisters, you know, the same way. And it was just one of those things that I would report seeing things, and even as a little kid, I would see stuff, but it didn't freak me out. But what got me was leaving my body. that got my attention.
That's a shock, isn't it? I mean, there's no description for it. It's so abrupt, and it's so surprising. And to see yourself it feels natural and awkward at the same time.
Yeah, it was so strange. I mean, I literally was in trouble, and you know, I just left, and the next thing I knew, I was back, and I couldn't. I was so confused by the whole thing. That's what stimulated my search. But in your case, it sounds like, you know, you sought help, but you went through normal channels, you know, a therapist to help you, which is a good idea. You know, you had a
problem. You know, it's not like something, it was not dinner conversation. I didn't talk to my friends. But what I decided to do when I realized this was happening and I was going to be getting, you know, messages, conversations, pictures, insights, I decided to channel all of those things into my writing, and it was a godsend for me because I never thought of myself as an author. And I guess it was something I was destined to do. I don't know. I hope I'm looking for a literary agent who can, you know, get me a publishing deal and hopefully a movie deal. And the reason I waited to have three complete novels is today it's so tough in publishing. You have to have a complete body of work if you really want to, you know, get a good turnout and a good publisher.
Yeah, it's even though there's the revolution in publishing and a lot of people are doing self-publishing, that kind of thing, it's still all about the marketing and the connections you have. And I'm writing a sci-fi novel trilogy myself, and it's been, you know, I'm just finishing the first book, really getting it ironed out, and I've got two more to do. So I know what you're going through. Oh, God, do I know.
Well, you know, this is what I do every day. You know, the last 10 years I've been writing a lot, and the 10 years before I was kind of doing notes and, you know, thinking about it and formulating these characters. I would pick one character and work on them, and where did they go to high school, and I'm a history buff, so I've incorporated a lot of things, and I've also put in a sense of humor and humanity. I don't have one-dimensional characters. There's not some scantily clothed co-ed running down the hall and ugly guy with an axe chasing her. You know, this is pretty much a believable story, and there is humor in it. And in the first book, The Near-Death Connection, the main central character does not emerge to the last half of the book because the story is the central character.
Okay. And these are all interconnected. Does the story run through all three books?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So the next book is called Throwaway Horses, and a minor character is the center, is the major character, lead character in that book. And then another minor character emerges as the reincarnation of Tess Hamilton. And I had a little trouble writing about reincarnation. I had always been a skeptic until a year ago, and now I'm a true believer.
What made you change your mind?
Well, I just published in UFO Digest. It's an article called Psychic Sherlock Holmes Looking for My Watson. I thought that would grab some readers' attention and they could come sleuth with me. Well, I guess it was last summer. I had been doing meditations with guided questions, John. And that night, I literally left my room non-physically, you know, into a different plane, as I say. And it's really tough for me to talk about astral projection because it sounds like, you know, crazy land talk. But anyways, the person I spoke with, the ghost I spoke with, was my mother in my past life. And I was, like, dumbfounded. But in the guided question that I had asked earlier that day was, who was I before I was me? Well, you know, kind of be careful what you wish for, because I met this woman, and she kind of had big hair. And I talked to her, and she had, you know, this was not a graving beauty, but she was an attractive woman, maybe in her prime, and a little overweight, big hair, and good person, good person. And she said to me, you are my daughter, your name was Eleanor, and you were murdered by a jealous boyfriend in 1942. And I was dumbstruck. I mean, it's just not every day that your mom tells you these things. So when the event was over and I was back, you know, and I was thinking, oh, my God, what is this? You know, this isn't supposed to happen. Reincarnation was always speculation for me. So I was going to the Y. I swear to God, now this is the funniest part of the story because, you know, there's always humor in life and the ironies. I'm in the YMCA. I'm in the therapy pool with the old, you know, old people, just walking around, minding my own business, middle of the day, and then I was flashed or presented a picture, and the picture was of Eleanor, what I looked like in my past life. And again, Eleanor was not exactly a raving beauty. Attractive, kind of Caucasian, red hair, blue eyes, yada, yada, yada. It's all in my article on UFO Digest. And I was like, okay, I've got the first name. I don't have the last name. You know, how am I going to verify this? So I read the article. I thought, you know what, I'm going to fly the freak flag there, John, and I'm just going to leave it and see if some of my readers will like to help me sleuth down who Eleanor was. So I'm doing a little research, and I'm kind of having fun with it.
Well, I think you're going to find it. There's nothing abnormal at all about anything you've been saying. I mean,
God's honest truth. I mean, I have the personality to be a writer because I'm introspective, and I love it. I just live and breathe for writing. But I am not, I do not have the personality to say, hey, you know, my name is Laura Kesslidge, I'm a psychic. I'm set up to be a linear thinker, you know. So if it's happened to me, you know, seeing is believing. It's been quite an extraordinary journey.
I believe it. I actually work in propulsion science, you know, doing, we do propulsion systems for the space shuttle, you know, Missile X, you name it, you know, we've done it in the company I work for. So, I mean, here I am, you know, basically I'm a computer scientist, and then the other half of me is this touchy-feely psychic, and I walk around going, I'm really confused most of the time about this, yeah, because it's, you know, it's just so alien to your professional life to be walking around talking about this stuff, but it's real and it happens. And, you know, you're following your truth and you're doing a great job. I can tell you that.
Oh, you're kind. It's been exciting to find out that I lived in a past life. I don't like the murdered part, but I was given these, Eleanor's mother or my mother told me these things for a reason. And I think the reason she told me the year, the how I was killed and showed me a picture, she wants me to solve the puzzle. I wish she had just been a little bit more precise, like, you know, location, last name, you know, telephone number, Social Security would have worked for me. But it's been kind of extraordinary because how many people get to actually have the opportunity to track down who they were in a past life?
I think that's,
I'm excited about it. I want to find out everything I can about Eleanor or who I was, and I want to find out who killed me.
Have you ever considered a hypnotic regression?
I don't know how to do that. I mean, I don't have anybody. I mean, I haven't done a whole lot of networking other than talking to, like, other authors and stuff. Now, I'd be very open to it. If you know anybody in Lexington, you know, beam me up. I think I'll do it. I'll try it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Hit the Internet because, trust me, just about within reach of you at any within just a community or two, I'm sure that you're going to find someone because right here in this town, I found somebody who I got interested in it back in the early 90s, and I was regressed, and my life was a very ordinary life. I was an Indian, and I was an Indian who died in battle in a skirmish with another tribe, and I always had a horror of knives and of spears, and that's how I died. I was actually killed with
one
of those.
Do you know what time frame? I mean, was it, you know, within 100 years, or were white settlers involved? Do you have any idea what tribe it was?
I know it was in California, and I know that I was roughly the area I am in now, and so I'm kind of thinking Maidu or Miwok Indians, who are near, right? I'm next to the reservation here with the studio we're in. And I don't run around trying to be an Indian. I'm European descent in this life, you know, so I am who I am, but it was just so weird, and I know the time was in the 1700s. That would be the other, probably mid-1700s. So it was definitely there were tribal spats going on of some sort, and we were fighting over things, and I got into a beef, and I got killed. So it's just, I don't know anything more than that. You've got way more than I got, but at least I knew, you know, it was kind of satisfying to know it was an ordinary life. It was not like I was Napoleon Bonaparte, you know.
Well, I've always joked if I was ever lived 2,000 years ago, I wasn't Cleopatra, I was a maid, you know.
I think you probably had a horse thing going on too. You're probably
horses, but you know, I mean, I got crushed as when I was like just before my 13th birthday, a horse crushed me and went down. I mean, it was awful, compound fractures. It was grisly, and I literally left my body just before the horse crunched me, and that was the first time. But it was very, very weird. It was very upsetting. But I, you know, as a kid, 13-year-old, you're not really your verbal skills aren't there. But I did tell a few people, and I just kind of put it in the back burner, didn't think about it. But then when I had the accident, of course, on horses again at 19, it was something I couldn't escape. It was pretty upsetting, yes. And it was pretty beautiful. And the upsetting part was not dying, was coming back. That was the part that I struggled with. And you know, you kind of wonder what is your purpose, but you just do the best you can each day, and you know, you try to make it a good place and a better life as much as you can. That's about it.
You're talking about things that are very common in these sorts of scenarios, and the Monroe books that you were offered,
I read some. They were a godsend.
They really helped me. I mean, I had basically the same experiences, and it was just really nice to know that you weren't the only one having these things happen.
Well, the reason I like Robert Monroe is, you know, when he was alive, he didn't have an agenda except scientific research, and he wrote, you know, his writing wasn't outlandish, and he did talk about astral projection, and I've always had a real problem talking about it. I just came out of the closet 3 months ago, so this is all, you know, conversing with others is new. But when you remember in Robert Monroe's book, he has like a meditation to help you astral project?
I can't recall it right off, but I'll trust you on that.
Okay, there's a meditation. Well, it works. And I did it, and I have been, it was very upsetting, and, you know, it was a lot of fear, and I haven't been able to get it right since, but every once in a while it still happens. But, yeah, I don't have a roadmap how to do this right, but I've just done the best I can.
Now, Karen here, our co-host with me, our guest co-host, she's actually had some of these experiences with trying to leave her body, and you were telling me today in the car about that you tried very hard with the meditation, and you got yourself, like, I guess at a very high vibrational level, but you...
Yes, I got to vibrating and just almost out of the body, and then I get excited and pop back in. Couldn't quite make it all the way out.
Yeah,
well,
it's
actually a fear barrier, you know.
I think that
you're running into.
I think you're right, because as soon as I even thought, boom, it was over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know the thing is you know, astral projection. I mean, it's known about in all cultures and all religions have had something to say about something similar, different terminologies for the same thing. You know, and the silver cord. You know, you fly and you can go out and. my mother, you know, was we were talking about just before show, the subject came up, and my mother was talking about her experiences all the way till she was 13. She had basically she'd go out every night and she'd fly and go and see places, and she even knew about a place in back in the Midwest, our family home back there, and was able to describe it and just about freaked her mother out. Her mother, who was very Christian and did not want to talk about that, was very upsetting to them. But they had all the spooky tendencies, but some people didn't want to talk about it. But you've overcome that, and the thing with the writing that I see in you. I get the feeling you've got guides that are, you know, just that are really pushing on you to develop this.
I feel like that too. I mean, I feel like I've gotten a kick in the keister, you know. you got to realize, John, you know, I'm totally dyslexic. I mean, I am like, oh, and I flunked out of nursing school, and you know, I was kind of a poor student. I majored in party life and having a good time when I was young, and I was a model and running around and just, you know, thinking so much of myself that, you know, time would never catch up to me. For me to be a writer, it just, you know, something that unfolded, and thank God for spell check. That's what I need to tell you. thank God for spell check. But I've had my work, I've had some other producers and writers look at it, and everybody's saying, my God, you know, this is definitely movie material. This is definitely, you know, worthy, and the feedback I've gotten is fantastic. So now I'm going to begin querying, publishers and agents, and that's the part I dread. I mean, I just kind of dread it because, you know I've got something great, but getting it to the right person and having them actually read it, it's tough. Because most of the manuscripts don't even get read. They get thrown in a pile and discarded, or they have somebody that is kind of low on the totem pole review it, and they don't give it a good read.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm looking very hard at my property that I'm developing, and deciding to possibly go with the Amazon Kindle publishing setup. And I'm in the same boat as you. I'm trying to figure out, well, how do I get to know these people, and what kind of community are they? And I'm a little bit intimidated by it all. I don't know about you, but it's very, very... just, my God, I'm just not sure.
It's easier to climb Mount Everest barefoot than it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know it's going to happen for me. I have this, you know, tremendous draw, this tremendous confidence in the stories. Not so much me as a writer or a human being, but the stories are so solid. They're so well thought out, and you're human. And, you know, some of my characters really struggle with this, and they're not like on the Ghost Whisperer and, you know, your Aunt Sally's not standing behind your next door neighbor saying, you know, I know where the good silver's hidden. You know, it's nothing like that. It's nothing like that at all.
And I know you've actually, on your website, you've got some of the samples of that writing. So for our guests here who are listening who want to go ahead and pull that down and take a look at that.
LuraKetch.com, and I have book previews. And then links to all my radio shows and different, I've got about, I guess, six or seven articles that are first-person psychic articles written on different online magazines, so you can click onto that. I have a real distinction. My, you know, the radio shows I do, the conversations I have with people, the first-person articles are me, Lura Kethledge. The writer part of me that does the books, that is fiction, but with true psychic themes. You know, there's some fictionalized things, but it's pretty much on the money.
All right. Well, I have one of my very dear friends on the East Coast is Kathy. She's a host of another show here on Blog Talk, and Kathy was just letting us know in the chat room she had a question for you. So, Kathy, are you there?
I am. Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, Laura.
Hey, Kathy.
I wanted to ask, do you feel, and that I feel this, I was just wondering if you felt it yourself, that the veil is thinning so much that it's actually even for the ones that aren't as sensitive or don't use their sensitive abilities as much, that they're even getting more aspects of the paranormal world.
Well, I think that's a great question, and it is because with all the internet, the media, the more awareness that people have about the real psychic community, you can't miss it. I mean, it is out there in a way that it has never been before in civilization. People know what a near-death experience is. They've heard these terms, this terminology, and I think it's slowly seeping into the general public that, you know, this is valid, this is true, and this has been going on, and different cross cultures throughout the centuries have had the same similar story about a near-death experience. So I think you're right. I think it's going into the general population, little by little, inch by inch.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Yeah, you're welcome, yeah. And, hey, I had a great time in your show the other night, and I will get with you, Kathy, about setting up our show for, you know, have you and feature you, so don't think you're going to get away too easy on me.
Well, I want you back.
Well, hey, we will have you back. As a matter of fact, I mean, that we had a great time after the show because we went out hunting missiles out in an old missile base right outside Lincoln where there had been UFO activity. So you're talking about the thinning of the world. Hey, we're talking about some of the stuff that, you know, things that we've had experience with in our family, some things out there. That was a lot of fun, but we definitely had a blast, and I'll definitely want to be on again. So, you know, we'll get
all
squared. Okay.
And I'll listen.
Well, so are you actually done, Laura, with the books? I mean, are they actually in a finished state, or are you?
Oh, yeah.
They're
copywritten. They're ready to go. I mean, they're really ready to go. And they're not thin little books. I mean, we're talking over 500 pages a book. So there's
wow.
been a lot written. I'm writing one more in the series, one more, finishing it up. So there'll be one more book, but it'll be four books as a total. Three are done, so I'm almost there.
Wow. And so you're putting your effort into kind of trying to figure the community out.
Well, what I did is I talked to Tom Martin from Tom Martin Media, who's a childhood friend and a wonderful PR guy. Oh, my God, he's the best in the business. And he was saying, you know, he said, you know, Laura, the cart comes before the horse in publishing. You have to have a web page. You have to have a social network. You have to have articles out there. They've got to be able to Google you. So I started 3 months ago doing all those things, and I'm on 10 pages of Google. And as I say, I am Googleable. So I had a good laugh with that. And I did something this is kind of funny, but it's tongue-in-cheek funny. Okay, I thought, well, I just finished my third book, and this was in August. And I said, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my house on eBay for sale under Haunted Kentucky Horse Farm. So I did, and the news media was out like lickety-split after, 3 days, that different news crews, and they said, you know, are you really telling the truth? And I said, sure, you know, I'll take a lie detector test to prove that there's been spirits in this house. And that's why the ghost investigators heard about me. They came out, and they were pretty shocked that there was positive EVPs and that I was on the level, and I've had a good time with it. No, did I sell my house? No. I could have done Craigslist, though, after my eBay ad ran out. I had a good time with it, but I wanted to say something provocative. Because I'm telling the truth, I will take a lie detector test to verify that I'm being truthful, and there has been, you know, psychic occurrences here and in with me.
Well,
like, you know, what the psychic investigator said, that yes, there is psychic activity in the house, but it's centered around me versus the house.
Whoa.
Yeah, they said it's around me.
It does make sense. I mean, with your abilities and the things that have been happening around you, that probably would follow you. It would be interesting for you to try it in another home.
Oh, it's happened in a bunch of homes. It happened in my apartment in New York City. It happened. I went to France, and I had the most vivid ghost encounter of my life in France, and that was like 25 years ago. It's making me sound old. And I've had it, and I've had another farm here, so this has been with me for a while. Now, I have seen the classic ghost that is white, that is devoid of color, that is a human form. But I've also seen spirits, and sometimes the spirits are not in that type of a form. They're more of a ball or a bubble-shaped and it's a soul, it's not an orb. And from what I've read, that, you know, the human being, when they die, John, they, you know, look like themselves for a certain period of time, but, you know, without color and pigmentation, they're white. And then they move on to more of a, like an energy ball or a bubble.
That's funny, because on several of my investigations out here, you know, we're out in, 9 miles from where gold was discovered in 1849. And so this is a very big area with a lot of, you know, we're on a haunted gold mine here on the ranch ourselves. And there's actually a grave 300 feet to the left of the studio here from someone that was perished in those days. But one of the things we picked up in Placerville and also in Virginia City over the hill in Nevada, two of my psychics both witnessed bright blue orbs. These things, yeah. And they were like foot across. And I never understood what these were. And now you're telling me this, that it starts to make sense.
Oh yeah,
because
that's definitely what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, and they were blue. And in both cases, these were blue, and they were wildly different cases, you know, 8 miles apart.
And
they
were about the size of a volleyball, something like a little bit bigger than volleyball.
It was in order. That's the way my both psychics described it was just this. One was Christine B., a dear friend of mine who's out in Ohio, and she just moved out there. But she was with me up on the Virginia City case, and this was in May, and we saw this thing, and it was. She said it was good size. I mean, she was probably 80 feet from it, and it happened 10 minutes after I had witnessed coming out of the mine in this particular place we were, a pair of legs come running out at very high speed with no torso. So that was a little different, but you know, you're saying it truly is a soul.
Yes. Okay. You know, an orb is subjective to me, because I'm really not very well versed on orbs. Although when they took pictures of me, one of the psychic investigators took pictures of me, I had these, they said, orbs all around me.
Wow.
And all over the house. Okay. That's a separate issue. What it is when the soul dies, you know, you really do retain your physical body, but it is, you don't have the pigmentation, you know, you really are white, though you can have paint eye color and clothing and whatnot. Then when you've been dead for a while, I'm not really sure, but this is just what I really believe. You know, when someone's recently dead and they come to visit you and they don't have their body anymore, the color is like mauve. I mean, it's translucent but dense at the same time, and it can glide towards you and hover, and I don't believe that those souls really know that they've lost their physical form. Other times, you know, when they've been deceased for a while, they'll be white, and sometimes a little bit larger than the pink ones. Only, I think it's two or three times have I seen the blue, and it was last week.
Whoa.
It was a family member.
Maury out at the Armagosa told me that she has seen blue orbs and other color orbs.
Yeah, the Armagosa
is not an orb, though. It's not an orb. It's a ball or a bubble. I mean, this is what my interpretation is.
Blue.
Yeah, it seems to be happening a lot suddenly, and that's what's getting to me is, you know, I've done 80 cases now, and suddenly in just a very short time span, you know, we're having all these things happen. Now, this, you know, and for those of you who don't know where the Armagosa is, that's out in Death Valley, at Death Valley Junction, and so that's the Armagosa Opera House.
Mm-hmm. And hotel, yeah.
So you, and so she says what, that there was...
Yeah, she has seen blue lights and other colored lights, but just recently she had seen a blue one.
Well, and mauve, I'm not sure what color mauve is, so can somebody tell me?
Kind of like a deeper, it's not a bright pink, but a deeper, like a blood pink. And mauve is the only, it's a very unique color. But I also, when I was literally dead and on the other side, so to speak, there was this chamber or room, and it was kind of mauve color, but it didn't have, you know, there was not, it wasn't a definitive structure or like furniture or anything, but there was a mauve cast to the place. Does that make sense? It's the best description I can give you.
That makes sense. And was it like Was there structures around, or was it just this kind of...
No, it was when I was coming back, and I remember I was saying, you know, because I never hit the ground. I left my body before I smashed into the ground face first, mercifully. And I went through the tunnel or the, you know, the dark alley or what everybody calls. It's like going into the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, you're traveling very fast. Now, what happened to me that was kind of unique is I know that I went on this tremendous journey, and I learned a lot, and I was told a lot. And as I was arguing to come back into the physical reality, and I mean, I was putting up a good fight about it, I said to my guide, I said, this has been, it's been so long, and I was, my heart wasn't just broken, it was wrenched. It was wrenched coming back. And as I was coming back, all these great insights, memories, things that I learned were just literally taken, reabsorbed, I mean, just removed from coming back to physical reality. And when I came back and I looked around and I was out in this field and people were, you know, saying, you've got to go to the hospital and stuff, I was really irritated with them. I was not grateful or appreciative that they'd saved my life and resuscitated me. I felt a little bit on the witchy side. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't real humble or grateful. I was mad.
I've heard that from other people that have come back, that they were mad also.
Yeah, it's something that when I came back, I remember being, I wasn't angry, but I was just, I don't know what happened to me. I just, I was out. I was aware of other presences around me that were there. And when I got back in, I was going, what the hell was that? It was just more of a mass confusion. And I didn't go, I don't think I went as far as you did. I don't think I went to the other side. I think it was just, I just stopped, you know, outside and went, you know, it was just one of those things. But, it, you know,
that was,
even
that's pretty significant, John. That's very significant.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it totally changed my life. I mean, I wouldn't be here now if it hadn't been for that. And my guides, I know that have worked with me, are a very patient bunch, you know, because I've made a lot of dumb mistakes and I argue with them a lot, but and they're always right. I have to say that to them, they're always right.
Well, so mine gets annoyed with me.
Oh yeah,
one time I was like, you know, please help me, and I was doing this meditation and I was kind of being pushy, and then I heard this voice off to the side and said, "You're not that important." Thanks.
It's nice to be humble.
So I thought that was funny.
Well, we're the center of our own universe, and to us, we aren't the most important. So it's natural. So when when somebody tries to do that to you, I would tell the guy, really? Well, you're not that important to me.
I've only got so much time on the earth, and before I leave, I want to make it count. I want to contribute. I want to learn as much as I can. So hopefully I don't have to do this life over. I call reincarnation God's ultimate recycling plan.
Yeah, although you know, I find a certain elegance in the whole thing of reincarnation. I mean, you know, the fact that you go through these experiences, you leave, you go back home, you know, you take a little break, you get to know some of the folks and reconnect and say, hey, you know, that life was pretty sucky in some ways. In other ways, it's really cool. What have we learned from that? And then, you know, then you come back again, and there's just an economy in that. I think, you know, you have to marvel at the creation that we're in. That's
I don't
possible.
Like it. I don't like the idea at all. I don't want to do puberty.
You don't like it at all?
I don't want to come back. I've had enough.
I don't know.
Like the idea that, you know, somebody murdered me when I was a young woman, and I just think, oh gosh, did I have a lot of icky lives? Was I a good person in my last? The whole thing's a little unsettling. I mean, I'm working on it, but I'm not real pleased about the process.
Oh, yeah, it's got its sucky parts, but at the same time, I think that the fact that you can come back and reconnect with the spirit that, you know, the great spirit of all things, and then you go back in there, and there's this whole other world that's possible. I just find that, I don't know, I just don't know. Maybe I'm a little different in that way, but I look at it and I think, wow, that is really, I'm a scientist, so I'm looking at it from the, that's an elegant design, dude. That is really cool. I want to know more about how you architected this. You know, it's just, that's how I see it. Karen?
I've often wondered, you know, those same things. I mean, I think you've got the personality. of somebody, you know, so smart that the fear factor isn't there, and you're so intelligent and inquisitive. I think that's great. The rest of us, the rest of humanity, I think we're, you know, I'm sort of on the shallow end of the gene pool here, you know. I'm just an average person, you know, with has had a few extraordinary experiences and a good gift or two. But, you know, I'm kind of a regular gal, so other than
actually,
a big ego, I'm trying to get through this as best I can.
Well, I think the difference is, though, that, you know, number one, if I was really smart, I'd be worth about $12 billion, and I'd be living in the Caymans going, wow, man.
what gets me is that, you know, I have had psychic insights. I mean, very big, and I've had, in the last, I guess, 2 years, I've had pictures come to me. And messages through pictures, and they've been pretty precise. But if I was really psychic, you know, I wish I could be in Vegas reading cards, you know, making money at the track, things like that. You know, things that'll pay the bills. That would be great. That would be actually wonderful.
But I've got a father who's had a stroke, and he always sits there and just, you know, he just in the night, I call him the chief of the curmudgeons. Because he's always so anti what I do, and he's that way. He always says, "Where's the lottery number?" So, you know, he can still say that. So, you know,
it is pretty extraordinary. I've had just very, very comforting conversations with my late grandfather. I've seen some relatives that have passed away numerous times, and it's really helped me deal with the grief and having the contact and knowing that. You know, I have a couple of spirits, a couple that are really looking out for me, that still love me, and I find the whole thing very, very comforting.
I do, too, and I think that despite the fact that you don't want to do it again, I think that when you get to the other side, you will have that smarts that you're talking about. Not that you, and you already do, because you've written 3 novels. I haven't even gotten that far yet. You are a lot smarter than you're giving yourself credit for, and this is a scientist talking, so, hey, you know, listen up here. So you're doing great, and I think when you get to this site, I think you're going to marvel. Probably, I'll make sure to look you up when I'm over there.
Well,
I'll make a point.
About tracking down Eleanor, I mean, I think that this is, it was like, I was given this for a reason, don't you?
I totally agree. I think that you have a mission, and you are being tested, and you're going
and
to find out.
If her killer was ever found out, and was he prosecuted?
And
I know it was a jealous boyfriend, but if I could find Eleanor's last name and her location, then I could get court records and see if this man was ever prosecuted. There's a very slim chance he'd still be alive, and I'd love to knock on his door and just say, surprise.
Hey, I'm here, and, you know, by the way.
By the way, the cutlery, let's talk. I have a feeling it was with a knife, but I really don't know. That's just speculation on my part. All I know is what I look like, my first name, the year I died, and that's all. I think but it's all.
We have a question here from what I believe to be Karen, you know, and Mike. Oh, Victoria. From Victoria, and what is the question here? Do we have it?
She's on the phone.
Oh, okay. Kathy, can you go ahead and relay the question?
I could, but she's on the phone.
Oh, okay. Do we know what the question is? I'm getting kind of tapped on the shoulder to do this, and then I went, yeah, but we have to have a question here, guys. I'll tell you what, we'll go ahead and just continue on with this, because until we can get the question typed into the chat room, I think that would be a good idea. Mike, I hope, and if Mike's still there.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. If someone can ask her if she sees any past lives of mine, Mike from New York, I would love to know. Now, I don't know that you read other people. And,
no, I'm not a medium. No, I'm not. I can see spirits. I can sometimes communicate with them, get messages from them, and then I'm presented messages and communications. It's kind of two separate things, but can I read somebody? No. But when I meet somebody, I get these gut feelings sometimes, occasionally, and they're usually pretty much on the money. Like one time I met this man, I shook his hand, and I was so nauseous, I thought I was going to pass out. And later I learned this was a very bad man. So those gut reactions are pretty insightful. And then I've met people that I instantly liked. I met this fellow almost 20 years ago. I won't give out his name. He's a close friend. The minute I met him, I just liked him, and we had nothing in common, and he was a younger guy than me, and nothing romantic. I mean, just, and you know what? I knew him for a couple of weeks, and he said, you know, I love you, like that when he was getting off the phone. I believe I have had a past life with him. I have to, because our connection is so strange. And there is a couple people that I have had a past life with, I'm certain of, that it was a bad thing. And when I met them, I could feel it. You know, I'm not getting a whole lot when I meet, you know, people per se.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think a lot of people, you know, when they see, you know, matter of fact, I do apologize for the folks on the chat room who were thinking that this is, you know, that it was going to be readings tonight, because, you know, we really went to some effort to let people know it was not quite, it was the accidental psychic. We went with that. But we do have a question here. Now, does she have any feelings from Braden past 2000? No, it's just another question. Victoria, honestly, she's not going to be able to read that.
I wish I could, but I can't.
Yeah, I really wish she could. You know, if we could get questions from the don't be sorry, Victoria. It's not a problem. You're just tuning in and trying to figure this out. And God bless you, love. But if anybody out there does have questions about the psychic abilities that she has or her past history, you know, go ahead and feed those in. Now we do have probably about 9 minutes left in the show, and we're just clipping right along. Boy, this hour really went fast. And thank God all the equipment worked good for the first time. Anyway,
thanks for having me be a part of this tonight.
You saved our tail on this. Yeah, I think it was something. Somebody was smiling on me because we were having technical difficulties. Friday the 13th. What a day!
Well, you know, I always liked it. I got my hair cut today, and I looked at my hairstylist, and I said, "Well, don't do anything too radical. That is Friday the 13th." She did a wonderful job. So.
Well,
I like
and
to
we
that day most of the time.
Yeah, and I find it a lucky day in many respects, except for this laptop that's had to go nuts. But you've had some really, really unique experiences. I mean,
I think it's pretty extraordinary, John, that you know that I was able to communicate with more than one family member, and I mean have a actual conversation.
It, yeah,
it helped me a lot.
Now, are these regular contacts? I mean, do you have like a regular set of relationships?
Yes. Yes, I do. I don't want to say who they are so much because it's really kind of tough on my parents.
Yeah.
There's some things that, you know, I don't talk about because, you know, it's too emotional for them. I've had two family members and who have been with me contacting me for years. And I wanted to share something with you. I have dubbed one of my situations, I call them contact dreams. You go into a deep sleep at night, and you have a very disturbing dream, almost a conflict, upsetting dream with a person, and, you know, that person that's dead that you know, and then you're jolted awake like you've just been dropped off a bridge, and there's a spirit right in that room. Well, I call those contact dreams because the ghost or spirit is actually trying to wake you up and be noticed. And they're pretty emotional.
I've had those where you kick awake and you can't understand what's happening and you felt like somebody was there, but I've never been able to see them or, you know, it just felt like they left.
Yeah.
This is like I caught the end of it and I'm going, what the
heck? This happens in the daytime. This isn't like a nighttime at 2 a.m. thing. This happens at, you know, all different times of day, and not when, like, I'm waking out of, you know, going to sleep or waking up necessarily. I mean, I had one when I lived in New York, and my husband was asleep, so I got up on a chair so I could reach it and see it better. And I was sitting on a chair just having a better look, and it was just unbelievable experience. It was just unbelievable, and I was able to see the ball or bubble and then get a picture of that soul in my head and hear audio, as I say, with it too. And it was a remarkable experience.
You see, you had clairaudience then. you know, your clairaudience. You can hear them talking on occasion.
Yes, sometimes I can. Yes, 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 I can. And it's been pretty extraordinary. So for a regular person, I've had an extraordinary gift or experiences, which I feel very blessed because I know there is life after death. I know there is more. But I also got a feeling when I came back from being dead, what you do in this life, how you treat others, your integrity is just core of importance. It is so important to be a good person, a good individual, not a saint, but, you know, to try to never interrupt or hurt somebody else. I mean, that it's fundamental.
I totally agree with that, and that's how I felt with my little experience. It just, you came back, and it was just all about it being as authentic and truthful as you could be, and yet good to people and good to yourself. And it hasn't been perfect, but you do the best you can. And that's all you can do is, as a human being. We're imperfect. But by the way, there is a question here about you, you and animals. Do you? I know about the horses. That I'm sure you've had.
I'm a big animal person. I mean, a very big animal person. What is the question?
The question is, psychically, do you have experience with? You know, have you had experiences or spiritual experiences with the different animals?
Yes.
In your
life. Yes. And it's been one. They were been my pets. It's been wonderful. My sweet little dog, Bridget, died 2 years ago, you know, basically in my arms. But I literally saw Bridget come out of her body and run towards me. I don't talk about it too much. It was just wonderful, wonderful experience. Terrible to lose her. I mean, I've had a hard time, you know, living without her. But to know that, to see that was pretty remarkable, I believe. And I've seen that before. So, yes, animals have souls.
Funny, my mother, we had a cat that was just a real sweetheart here, and he accidentally was killed, and oddly enough, the person who did it was me. He was a very old cat, and he had bad hearing, and I had a Camaro at the time. And I accidentally backed over him, and my mother had to put him down, and so I, you know, and I was devastated. It was just the whole house was, we'd had him 9 years. He was a family member. And I was just crushed, you know, and I did see him kind of like what you're talking about, but I saw him running in panic out of his body. And I was just horrified at what had happened. But the good part in all of this is that for all these years later, even now, my mother will be out in the back garden here on the ranch, you know, in Shingle Springs, and she will feel him press up on her leg and rub against her, and she knows it's him, and she will hear the purring on occasion. So she gets this feeling.
Nice?
So he visits. Yeah, and it's just it's such a tender thing, and you just know they're around. And I occasionally spot little movements that I know over by where they're buried, that I know they're around. And we just had one recently, you know, a few months back, where they popped into the kitchen, and we knew it was one of our other ones. Because we have so many different cats over the years here, but wow, there's nothing like it. So I'm glad you've had those experiences.
It really has helped me. I've seen two of my pets, you know, up close and personal after they were deceased, and seen their souls, and it was a wonderful thing. And then I had a contact dream with my cat that died. He died also almost 2 years ago, and I know it was his way of contacting me. So it makes me feel blessed. And now there's other times where, you know, I wish I had more, but I have to, you know, hold back and remember that I have a lot. I've had a lot of good experiences. So I've been able to put them into my stories and in some of my first-person articles on my webpage. You know, you'll hear the disturbing, and you'll read about that, a few ghost encounters didn't go too well. But the majority of it has been very positive, very comforting. Very good thing.
Well, with that, we are coming up on about 1 minute, 10 seconds to the end of the show. So I want to thank you very much for being with us. And you know, I'd like to touch base again in about 6 months if you want to come back on.
Could I plug myself just one more minute?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I hope your listeners would like to go to www.luraketch.com and read more about me and contact me. And thank you so much for having me on the show tonight, John. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure meeting you, and God bless you. And I will stay in touch with you. And so I'll email you as soon as we can. And thank you for being on. And with next week, we're going to be having Ellis Bird of Gusset Hunters Paranormal out actually not too far from you, out in Kentucky. So they're going to be out to talk with us. I think they're in Indiana or Illinois. I can't remember which, but they are out there. And so, again, thanks to all who've been on the show. God bless you, and we will
be
here again.
Good night, everybody. Good night,
everybody.
Kathy, Victoria.
And we'll play a little bit of parting music, the ghost theme. And with
take care, Kathy.
This is Ghost Rider Paranormal
Take
Radio.
Care. Bye. Love y'all.
Hi, Kath. Love you.
Love you, too. Bye.